this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord, Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, it's about faith, it's about so many different things. So before I get into all of the many things, let's kick back right now. Well, maybe put on those running shoes, because we want you to take this next step with us. This podcast is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and brought to you by the cool folks at epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, of course I'm excited. Yes, I am excited. You can tell it in my voice, can't you? Of course. Well, welcome. And we are, whether you are walking today, you are crawling. I know we've got a few crawlers today, but I hope that you're going to be putting on some running shoes because we are going to be running some places. Actually, we've got such a great show for you because today we're going to be just bringing together all kinds of, well, open ends, you know? I mean, we use that metaphor, you know, walking, running, because we are taking the next step. So how about some laces on those shoes, okay? On those next step shoes. We're going to be tying up some laces. Tying up some open ends today. Hey, I want to welcome you today. Today happens to be July 7th. Yes, do you know what that day is? I knew you would remember. Or should I say, I knew you wouldn't forget. Yes, it was 4 years ago that we celebrated with a conference on forgiveness. It happened to have been 777, 4 years ago. What was that? 2007, right? Yeah, I could do the math. Okay. Yes, it was 2007 on July 7th. We celebrated a conference on forgiveness, going back to the statement that Jesus makes. He says, you must forgive not only seven times, but forgive seven times 77 times. Okay, let's do the math. What is that? Okay, carry the one, carry the two. 539. Okay, so if somebody sins against me 540 times, okay, that's the magic number. I can now not forgive. Nope. Sorry. It doesn't work that way. Actually, it's not about 540. It's not even have to do with the mathematical statement. It's a question of forgiving continuously, constantly, and always. And I know it's much easier said than done, and certainly Christ gives us the example, even from the cross, without us even asking for forgiveness. He looks down and says, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they do. And he gives us this ultimate example of him, the Son of God, forgiving all of us, forgiving everyone for really perpetrating the ultimate crime of hatred upon love. Well, what we did 4 years ago is we actually tried to find some examples today. Like, is it possible? And my travels to Africa, to Rwanda, had introduced me to a group of people who had genocide perpetrated on them, who had forgiven the perpetrator. And so at that conference 4 years ago, we were able to bring over a couple people from Rwanda and had them talk about forgiveness, about the cleansing power, about the godliness of forgiveness. It was fascinating. And I want to draw you to your attention this website that has been existing since, well, 4 years ago. And actually, we do need to make more mention of it because it's just sort of a stagnant website. It exists there because it just documents the event that took place. It is 7x77. Yes, that's 7x77.org. Do check it out. We'll put a link on our show notes today as well, so you'll be able to just press and go there. But do check it out. There's all kinds of information, a little concise description of what the conference was about, a lot about forgiveness. Also, one of the guests was Letitia Aguirre. And you do need to check out what these people say, what these people have said. She was the mother of Raul Aguirre, very special, special person in my life because he was a young man who was, well, murdered right in front of the church where I'm at right now in Glendale. And he was murdered by a couple Armenians. And this could have escalated into, to some point it did, but it could have escalated into very big ethnic tensions. Well, you gotta read what Letitia did, Mrs. Aguirre did. An incredible woman with an incredible amount of love and forgiveness in her heart. And so today happens to be the anniversary of that day, July 7th, a very special day. And you know, I'm very big on numbers. Those of you who have listened to my podcast know that we have all kinds of exciting things going on with numbers and especially going on with, well, how everything comes together. More than just the numbers, but how everything comes together. And we did a very special section on those numbers, 777. And you take a look at it. In the Armenian alphabet, you have a matrix of 6x6. What Mesrop Mashtots invented was a 36 letters to the Armenian alphabet. Seventh in that succession is the letter E, which is the number of God. Okay, God is seven, first of all, because of the perfection. It symbolizes 3 plus 4, right? The totality, three being the sky number, the heavenly number, the Trinity, four being the four sections of the earth, north, east, west, and south, the four directions. You put them together and you got seven. And that letter in the Armenian alphabet is E, the name of God. Okay, so the completeness, the totality. And that number is not just haphazardly thrown out there. There is a reason for that. And we go into quite a bit of detail. I do check out every week when we do start off our podcast. There is a little ritual that I go through whenever it is an odd number, especially a non-divisible by 5 odd number. I do check it out and make sure that is it a prime number or not. So today happens to be the 161st. Wow, did we do that already? Yes, 161st podcast today. And there is a ritual I go through, and if it is a prime number, there's a very special thing that we do to the show, and that's up to you listeners. I know some of you out there have figured it out, but today's show, 161st, is not a prime number, but it is divisible by only 2 primes. Of course, itself and 1, but it is also divisible by 7 and 23. But here's another interesting fact that I just learned about it, and you'd be interested. On Wikipedia, each number has its own page. 161 is also the sum of 5 consecutive primes, namely 23, 29, 31, 37, and 41. And so what does this all mean? I know. Some of you are out there, oh, hey, Father Voskin, we tuned in about this Christian show, and all of a sudden you're talking about numerology. No, we're not. We're talking about something very beautiful and very pure. You know, many physicists have also said that the language of God is numbers, is mathematics. And when you really sit down and think about it, there is an order to this universe. I know many times your life, the world around you seems chaotic, but there is order. When you trust God, everything falls into place. Numbers gives us a small little clue on how those things can fall into place when our perception is there. Now, this week I told you we're going to be talking about miracles, and here's the tie-in. This is really important, okay? In a few minutes, I'm going to be talking about miracles. I promised you that, especially after some of the issues that we've been through. I wanted to share with you some ideas. And this is the beauty of it. Miracles are all around us. But sometimes we are so clueless. Our senses have become so dull. In fact, we've put up our own little boundaries so that we prevent those miracles from actually happening in our lives. They are happening all around us, but are we astute enough? Are we awake enough to recognize them as miracles? And that's what we're going to be talking about in a few minutes. Because those miracles are not, I'm not talking about those thunder and lightning things that, you know, that Cecil B. DeMille did in the movie. I know. I'm sorry. I'm showing my age again. I know you don't even know who Cecil B. DeMille is. Okay, we're not talking about those miracles that you see in the movies and, you know, the thunder and lightning. We're talking about real miracles that change your life, how God touches your life every single day. So I want to share some ideas with you about that, about real miracles that are all around us. And I think when we talk about these kind of numbers, about primes, you start seeing that, you know, in life, there are so many things, so many points of wonder, let's call them, that really stimulate our mind, stimulate our soul to really understand that this is not just by chance that we are here, but that there is an order, that there is a beauty. That when Christ, looking down from the cross, and he looks at us and he says, "Forgive, because I am now forgiving you," he's giving us the ultimate command. To be able to love one another and to share with one another. And this is not haphazardly given. In fact, it is given in such a beautiful way that it dares us to become human and in that humanity find the divinity that rests inside each of us. We're going to be talking about miracles in just a few minutes, but let me tell you all the other good things that we're going to be talking about. I want to talk about some of the electronic stuff that's been going on. Etchmiadzin just announced its partnership with Foursquare. We want to talk about some great people that are doing some great work at St. Hagop Church. That's coming up in a few minutes. I want to share with you also a few letters. Hopefully we can get onto them in a few minutes about the homosexuality issues that I brought up a few weeks ago. Also, I know we have a listener out there named Vahe. I want to do this shout out to him. I have promised you about Lilith. I am not there yet. There's so many things that have been coming up. We're going to be talking about Lilith in just a couple weeks. Hopefully, maybe next week, if not the following week. I did promise this in previous podcasts that Lilith was this beautiful story out there by Avedikisa Hagen. I want to bring it all together in this very special podcast, hopefully in a few weeks. I promise. It'll be good. It'll be very special, as always. We have Ani waiting in the wings with her bubbles. She's been inspired by independence, and we're waiting for her to inspire all of us. Independence Day, that is. Today, we've got the song of the day. We start off every podcast with a very special song. I've selected this one because, you know, we celebrated the 4th anniversary of our podcast. Someone very special in this podcast world, in what we do here at The Next Step, is Gor Mkhitaryan. I have selected a song that he has done from, Gomidas Vartabed. And that really puts together a lot of the elements that we talk about here on The Next Step, right? Armodoxy, it's not all about ancient traditions. It's bringing those ancients and combining it with our life today. So to reflect the essence of Armenian Orthodoxy, which we polish up in a new manner called Armodoxy, here is Gor Mkhitaryan, Gomidas Vartabed, and Gakalik. Sari zeren, pareva berav tzalik nere. Sirunik, sirunik, sirunik nachshon kakavik. Sirunik, sirunik, sirunik nachshon kakavik. Koboyun hyusa tzalik nere. Shine.
boots, gotta meet a dotik, gotta meet a car, meet a dotik, Nerov, Kashoras, Chutik, Nerov, Siruni, 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 Kanashunga, Kavik, Siruni, 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 Kanashunga, Kavik. Mamrot Karin, Dacher Gasses Zarik Nerin, Sarer Zorer Zava Ganes, Dadadi Zoven Sirke Hannes. Sirunik, Sirunik, Sirunik Nachunka Kavi. Sirunik, Sirunik, Sirunik.
The very special voice and talent of Gor Mkhitaryan. We will put a link on our show notes to this album, and do check out all of his music. This comes off of his acoustic folklore album. Again, that is the piece called Gakavig. Miracles. That's what I want to talk about right now. I've talked about miracles on many occasions on these podcasts, and you know, miracles to me are just, well, they're just part of life. And it's a bit about our ability to really perceive those miracles. You know that in everything that goes on in our lives, there are different vantage points that we have. And it's important to be at a vantage point where you get to see things in different ways. God's perspective, of course, is universal. When we call him omnipresent, he is always present. When we call him omniscient, the ability to know all. And that is a very special vantage point, of course, that we are not privy to, well, because of our senses. But there is a possibility to really, when we talk about in our ministry, in his shoes. We're talking about really putting ourselves in the shoes of others, looking at others through their vantage point, through where they are in their lives. And you know, along with that, we also should say, you know, in his shoes, of course, is, well, the symbol of what would Jesus do, right? Putting ourselves in the shoes of Christ. What would Jesus do is exactly that, putting ourselves in the shoes of Christ. So in his shoes is really the idea of being able to take on a very special vantage point. I mean, for instance, when we talk about miracles, did Jesus really consider them miracles? Yes, we look at the Holy Scriptures, we look at the stories of Jesus healing these people. Somebody's blind one moment, the next moment he sees. Somebody is in a bed one moment, paralyzed, next moment he stands up and he walks. We call those miracles. Put yourselves in the place of Jesus. I don't think they were miracles for him. They were part of his regular life. They were part of who he was. That ability to give life to the dead. That ability to give strength to the weak. That ability to inspire the hopeless, the helpless. That was what Christ was all about. And as Christians, we are called to that same ministry, to be able to put ourselves in the shoes of others, in the shoes of Christ, and in so doing, understand that these are part of what we call the beauty, the wonder, and if you want, the miracle of life. I mean, think about it, that every moment a child is born, that is, what is that? Isn't that a miracle? Think about just the birds who defy gravity, and they are up there flying. Think about the idea that against all odds, I mean, even after a genocide, people have come and created a new life. That, to me, is a miracle. And we have to be able to understand that vantage point. There are different vantage points for everything that we perceive. Go to a sporting event. I mean, there's one vantage point when you're sitting, let's say, in center field at a baseball game. There's a different vantage point when you're in left field, when you're behind the backstop. There's a different vantage point when you're watching it from television, right? And each person has a different understanding of where they are. And I felt this a few weeks ago. I'm going to bring it a little bit personal because many of you know, and I do sincerely appreciate all of the wonderful, wonderful email and support that you've given me. A few weeks ago, I was diagnosed with a malignant tumor within me, which meant that dreaded word cancer. That cancer has now taken hold of you, has gotten inside of you. And you can say, yes, it has taken a hold of you, or you could say that it is in me and I am dispelling of it. I am getting rid of it. And faced with that reality, I opted for the latter, basically saying that I am a priest, that I have a ministry and Christ is within me. And if Christ is within me, what cancer can therefore even try to overcome the love of Christ? And I shared with you this story that I've shared on many occasions of a beautiful, beautiful lady in my life. Her name is Leslie, that I met more than 20 years ago, who was diagnosed with, well, inoperable cancer on her brain, inner brain. And I'm very touched that after 20 years, I was able to reconnect with her just before going into surgery myself. And she was one that 20 years ago just inspired me so much. Because when the doctors had given her that diagnosis, she actually had undergone some treatment. And one day when she received the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Communion, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, she walked away saying that if Christ is inside of me, what could be against me? What cancer could dare to try to overcome my body if Christ is in me? And this inoperable cancer, she didn't have anything else besides the Holy Communion. And I remember that it was only shortly thereafter that she had her, after we were figuring that her child was going to be an orphan, left without a mother, she had her second child, she had her third child subsequently, and now it is almost 20 years that she is continuing to live because of the faith that she has in the Holy Eucharist, understanding that Christ's power is bigger than any power that is out there. That's inspirational. That to me is a miracle. And the miracle is not that Christ has overcome the cancer. That's easy stuff. That's stuff that she did. The miracle that he did. The miracle is the belief, is the faith. That's the miracle. The miracle is our ability to open up, to take on that different vantage point of saying that, hey, Christ is within me. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the hospital and it was a very difficult time undergoing this surgery. And my son, my number one son from Phoenix, he's studying out there. He came out to visit. And of course, being in the hospital together, you conjure up many, many different emotions, and as he had to leave to get back to class, we said our goodbyes. And I remembered a song that, a Jethro Tull song that was written back in, well, 40 years ago. I can't believe it's been 40 years. It comes off of the Aqualung album. It is called Cheap Day Return. And the writer Ian Anderson talks about having to visit his father in the hospital and standing on a platform and, you know, somebody coming up to him and asking him for his autograph and not really realizing that all these things are going through his head, not realizing his vantage point as he's contemplating the idea, is the nurse treating his father well? Is the nurse treating his father with dignity? And I thought, you know, my son now having to go to that, to the airport and getting on a plane and heading back and thinking of all these things, what's happening to his dad. It's a completely different vantage point, isn't it? As a child. It's different from the one that I'm in where I've got doctors coming up to me and sticking me with needles, taking x-rays. It's different from your vantage point, hearing about it and offering a prayer. And all these different vantage points are our opportunity to really understand that the miracle is not about somebody just standing up or cancer disappearing. It's the miracle for us to be able to be engaged. After my surgery, they told me that the cancer was out of me. They told me it was completely gone. And I remember my sister coming in a very, very emotionally packed moment, having received this news, and my wife at my side through this whole ordeal. We break down in tears, and my sister comes up to me and says, "You know, this is the miracle." And she was so right. It was a miracle. And it is a miracle. She says, "You've been given the miracle." Yes. But the miracle is happening. It is not a was. It is happening. And it's in our ability to understand that perception, that vantage point of others. Because here, to me, this is the miracle that happened in my case. And I sincerely believe this. As a priest of the Armenian Church, as a priest of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not about just being rid of cancer. It's our ability to take on a newness, a new life. And what happened leading up to that stay in the hospital is equally as part of that miracle I want to share with you. On that Sunday before going into surgery, I had just told my parish about me being away for a few weeks because of health issues, without disclosing everything, because everything happened so quickly. I didn't have all the details, but knowing that I was going to be laid up for a few weeks, I said that I'm going to be going away and needed their prayers. And an individual, rather rugged individual, in my estimation, I would say somebody that has really led a pretty full life, he came up to me, and he is a gentleman from Iran, and he came up to me and he says, "You know, Father Voskin, I don't have a habit of praying." He says, "I don't think I've prayed much in my life." He says, "Now," he says, "with my son expecting," he says, "every Sunday I come to church and I light a candle with a prayer for a very healthy baby." He said, "But today," he said, "today I lit a candle and offered a prayer for you." And to me, that was a miracle. That was one of the many miracles that we are just so clueless, so senseless to really understand and realize what a miracle that is. Here is somebody who is not brought up with God, somebody who does not understand the nuances of, say, go to church and get on your knees and to pray and everything. But in his very humble and real way, he had taken stop of his life. He had been impacted by a short message that his pastor had to go to the hospital. And so for a moment, he stopped and he offered a prayer. That to me was a miracle. It's a different vantage point. Yeah, he wasn't in the hospital room. He didn't understand all of it, but he got down on his knees, he lit a candle, and he offered a prayer for the safe deliverance of a pastor, of somebody that this man, if you know him, if you know anything about Armenian males and coming from the Middle East, really the reality of God is something that's just out there. It's a given. It's taken for granted. But he engaged with that God. Now here's another vantage point. This came to me by way of email. This is from one of our listeners over there in the UK, and I do want to share this with you by reading it. I was very touched because, well, like I said, it's a different vantage point, and it does signal, well, something very big. This is written by our listener, Harry Hagopian, and I've shared with you a couple of his messages in the past, but I was so touched by this, and allow me to just read it. It says, "Cordial greetings from Brussels. I and two of my British colleagues are here for a few days to discuss the EU officials, certain aspects of the MENA uprisings, as well as the Palestinian bid for statehood. So I decided to listen to your latest podcast in one of the reading rooms of Parliament and was joined by five others who shared this magical hour with me. Thanks for your uplifting and hope-provoking thoughts. I also learned a tiny bit more about your recent health problems and your fight with those cancerous cells. Rest assured that I, like many others worldwide, are praying for you. In fact, after the podcast, all six of us went to a nearby Roman Catholic church to light a candle for you and to spend a few moments of meditation. I say meditation and not prayer because two of my colleagues who joined me, a Finn and a German, are non-believers. So we had a little chat about meditation versus prayer and decided that the objective in community overrides the individual label. Harry, thank you very much for that beautiful, beautiful prayer that you offered, because I felt it over here. And I want to share it with all of our listeners, that you understand what the miracle is in this case. Here you've got an Armenian, a Finn, you've got a German, you've got six people kneeling down and praying for something, somebody that they've never even met, but praying for the idea and meditating and contemplating and coming together and uniting. And when you talk about what the message of Christ is, what the miracle that he asked us for, was that from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. They don't have that vantage point that we have. And until they do, they're not going to get it. So what's the miracle today is that we're starting to understand that we're in this together. It's not a question of being Armenian, German, Finn. It's not about China. It's not about Turkey. It's not about Venezuela. It's about people. It's about you and me being children of God, understanding ourselves as people that inhabit this planet and are in this battle together, that we need to reach out to one another, even if we don't know who we are. We need to pray, meditate. We need to stop our busy lives for a moment and contemplate the bigger picture, that there is suffering in the world. That by us coming on our knees, we realize that there is a bigger power out there. And that collective power is within us. That God is within us. That his only means of working is for us to understand our place in that collection, in that community, however small, however big it may be. Whether it's a parish on a small corner where an individual turns around and says, I'm lighting a candle for you, or whether it's this worldwide community where people of different faiths, different understandings, even non-believers are taking a moment to stop. That to me is the miracle. That to me tells us that Christ is working, because he's opened our hearts to the possibility. He's opened ourselves to the understanding that we can take a different vantage point, that we may be able to stand up on that cross and say, Father, forgive. I forgive. I am willing to let go. I am willing to take on that vantage point and understand myself as part of the community. As our listeners so beautifully and so eloquently phrased it, so we had a little chat about meditation versus prayer and decided that the objectives in community overrides the individual label.
On brazen platforms, do your soft shoe shovel dance. Brush away the cigarette ash that's falling down your pants. And then you sadly wonder, does the nurse treat your old man the way she should? She made you tea, asked for your autograph. What a laugh.
I want to leave you there with these thoughts on miracles. It's a different way of viewing it, but it is, to me, very real. And I appreciate you listening and engaging with me through some of my difficulties this past few weeks and giving me this opportunity to share with you. Right now we have Ani with her bubbles. She is always ready to inspire us and take our minds to a different platform. Here is Ani with today's installment of Spiritual Bubbles.
Today's spiritual bubble is a little different. As I was looking through my bubble archives this week, I wanted something that touched a patriotic heartstring on this week of our nation's independence. I came across this short but powerful speech given almost 50 years ago by President Kennedy, and I realized that it spoke not only to that generation, but to the generation of today. It speaks not only to Americans, but to citizens of the world, to humanity, about being a good person and fulfilling God's will in all that we do. So, without further ado, here is your spiritual bubble. Man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life. And yet, the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. We dare not forget today that we are the heirs of that first revolution. Let the world go forth from this time and place, to friend and foe alike, that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans, born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed, and to which we are committed today, at home and around the world. Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and success of liberty. In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it, and the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man. Finally, whether you are a citizen of America or the citizens of the world, ask of us here the same high standards of strength and sacrifice which we ask of you. With a good conscience, our only sure reward, with the history of the final judge of our deeds, let us go forth and lead the land we love, asking his blessing and his help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own. This has been your patriotic bubble. May it fly with the stars and stripes to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. Very appropriate for today. And whether you're listening under the stars and stripes or you're listening elsewhere in the world, it's a message for all of us. I can't believe it's been, 50 years, you said? Yes, 1961. Yeah, wow, 50 years. The inaugural address of President John Kennedy. And he invites us to really think about the collective. And isn't that what we've been talking about? It's very appropriate for today, as we were talking about community. We were talking about the importance of really the big miracles of us plugging into something bigger than ourselves, wanting to help something more than just ourselves, seeing the miracle when people reach out to one another. And his invitation, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, goes beyond country. It goes to the communities that we live and we servant. It goes to the world. What can the world do for you? No, it's about what you can do, how you can be part of that entire collective. And we give some straight answers. Place your feet in the shoes of others. Understand so that you can love. Respect so that you can love. And here is Susie right now to tell you how you can get involved in this ministry. Thank you, Ani, for the... Yeah, you can take off, I know. And good luck with you. Here is Susie to invite you, and I'll be back in just a few minutes to put it all together.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vosgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. We thank you for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fourth year of broadcasting, and we're proud to tell you that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. The Next Step is entering homes, workplaces, and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion to a waiting world. We appreciate your responses to this message and always look forward to your words of encouragement. You can address your comments to feedback@epostle.net or via our website at epostle.net. Every week consistently for the past 4 years, we have brought the Next Step to you as a gift. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. You may also mail a check to Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center to 632 West Docker Street, Glendale, California, 91202. Please be assured that your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, please take a moment to tell your friends about the Next Step. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, as well as on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. We're excited about this ministry, and we invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie, wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie. Very important announcement that, you know, we find value in all these things that we do. We love getting it out to you, but it does cost money. I hate to say that, but it does. And it's a reality, and it's made possible through your prayers and your donations. We invite you to partner with us. You know, all of these things are new steps that we're taking. They are steps that we're very proud to be pioneering. I'm going to be talking in a few minutes about some electronic opportunities that have come up throughout the world. And you know, here at the Next Step, we've been podcasting now for 4 years, but this is part of an ongoing process for the last 20 years where we've been really engaging with technology to get the word of Christ out. We did our first, the entire Divine Liturgy in the year 2000. It was broadcast, the Easter Divine Liturgy. I'll never forget receiving this beautiful letter after we did that. It was from a listener who, it was, I get choked up every time I think about it, but she sent an email to us, and she said that her father had been bedridden for many years, and on that Easter Sunday, the idea that we were broadcasting the Divine Liturgy out there, she got her father to get actually shaved. He dressed up, he wore his Sunday best, got into his wheelchair, and sat next to the computer. Now, I know that sounds unromantic. It sounds like, hey, you know what, we're talking about church, and where's all the bells and whistles, and where is all that incense and the smoke and the icons? But this was the icon. That computer screen became the icon. And she says, my father sat in front of that computer screen listening to the Divine Liturgy and crying. An opportunity that he wouldn't have otherwise. This is back in the year 2000 when we first started Epostle. And you know, God has been so good. God has given us these opportunities, one right after the other. He has opened new doors. And I believe those doors keep on opening with your prayers, with your support. I do appreciate all that you do. I'm asking you that if you find a value in this ministry, don't just kick back and say that somebody else will do it. It's each of us. Ask not what it's going to do for you, but how you can do something for this ministry to make sure that it does continue, to make sure that the Word of God does get spread, and Christ's light is something that illuminates the entire world through this method. Technology today is podcasting. Technology yesterday was audio casting. Tomorrow it may be something else. Yes, when it gets to the holograms, we're going to ask you to join in for that. But until that time, do support Epostle in any way that you can. Susie told you can go to the website. She gave you an address, many ways to get involved. couple of technology-related items that I wanted to share with you today. One of them comes right from the headquarters of the Armenian Church. This is armenianchurch.org. This is the website of Etchmiadzin, the Mother See. And they inform us that they have now gone into partnership with a group called Foursquare to find the location. Sounds very interesting. Haven't been able to really put it all together, but they tell us that it should work. And you could do check that out. Foursquare is a way to find your location. I guess if you didn't know where you were, that would be a very important thing to be able to do. Okay, don't get me started on that. Yes, we know where we're at. Okay, I know. Okay, let's drop that. I know there's a lot of directions that I could go in that way. Something more on the technology. One more item of MCUD. That is an app that has been produced by the Eastern Diocese. I spoke about it a few weeks ago and shared with you some ideas about that app and had a chance to play with it a little bit more. Great, great little app. You might want to check that out. I believe it's just for the iPhone at this point. I don't know if it's developed for Android and for the Windows operating system phones, but do check it out if you do have an iPhone. Really a wonderful little feature. It kind of puts you in touch with the Eastern Diocese and all of the stuff that they're doing. Now, the next item is interesting because I really relate to these people because, it's so obvious that they're grassroots. And I love the way that they approach the use of technology because you could tell it's a passion for them. And this is a group called Surp Hagop Giragnoria Tavrot, St. Hagop Sunday School. And they've been at it for about 10 years. And I want to share with you this email that I got because if you could read between the lines, you understand why I relate to them. There is a passion for what they do. He says, Parev, after 10 years, our website needed a new look and it got it. Since our inception on December 10th, 2000, we had used the Arasan Armenian font to create more than 1,000 pages of our website. However, the introduction of Windows 7 with 64-bit operating system made Arasan unusable for our visitors. As such, we had to make the investment in time. I love that. To change our content to enable our visitors to read it with no additional fonts. As such, on the 10th anniversary of our website, instead of having a party and cutting the 10th anniversary cake, our volunteers embark on a project to convert the fonts. They went to a Unicode standard. First, we kept the same look, and then we decided to give surphagop.org a new look it deserved. Anyway, we will put a link on our show notes today so you could check in. I just really want to thank Toros Babikin. He's the director over at the Armenian Church Surp Hagop Sunday School in Montreal. I want to thank him for all the work, and I know what goes into this. I mean, don't fool yourselves. When he's saying about the 10th anniversary cake, there is a big cake, and that cake is being done in your honor. It is one that God is certainly smiling upon. And God bless you, all of you folks out in Montreal who are doing the work that God has entrusted you with. And I'm just really excited when I read things like this, because when you read between the lines, you know that it's a lot of energy, it's a lot of talent, but it's being given, it's being sacrificed for all the right reasons to bring people to a closer look at what God has in store for them. Finally, let me share with you what we are doing. We just opened up a new YouTube channel, and this is on top of our YouTube/In His Shoes, where you could see many of the instructions of what the In His Shoes ministry is about. We now have a YouTube channel called YouTube/Armodoxy, ArmodoXy. And this channel is actually, since the beginning of the year, we have been invited by the Western Diocese to do a group of programs, 15 minutes at max, between 12 to 15 minutes each of them. They are instructional videos about what our faith is, but in the context of today, how our faith can be applied today. And so we have an opportunity now to have these videos in one place, and we invite you to take a look at it. They are there to be shared. We invite you to pass them around, do whatever you need to do with those videos, because we're just excited that this channel has opened up, and we want you to share the wealth, so to speak. They are videos produced directly by the Western Diocese. They feature my message 10 to 15 minutes in length, each of them. There are now, I believe, 26. Yes, we are right at the middle of the year. So 26 messages for you to listen to, for you to share, for you to grow by. And they're there for you. They're there for you. And so thank you all for making this possible, this ministry possible, so that we can expand in these ways. We are at the end of today's podcast. I did want to get in a couple letters. We had some interesting comments about our comments about homosexuality a couple weeks ago. Those will be coming up next week. I mean, we are here every week. Thanks to your generosity and thanks to the prayers that you send up, the opportunity that God gives us to be able to reach out and share with you these thoughts and these messages. Hey, for the wonderful crew that's over here, we want to thank you for all of the messages that you do send. You can address your comments to feedback@epostle.net. And epostle.net is really where all of this comes together. That is the voice of Armadoxy. And you can find this podcast as well as every podcast we've done from the beginning of time, as well as resources and different links that'll link you in with all of the stuff that we're doing. Join us also at inhisshoes.org. That's the mothership. That's where all of our work gets done. Hey, for the wonderful crew who put this together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.